Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Monday. 615-737-1025. You can weigh in on our phone and text line. Anything you want. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com as we talk the Titans draft, the Predators loss, all of those things.
Our buddy
still depressed.
Gator Mike, we're talking about the most devastating, heartbreaking, crushing loss your favorite sports team. He's told us one, choke at the doke. 1994 college football game between Florida and Florida State. I forgot about this because Florida was up. It looks like Florida was up in this game.
What year?
1994. They're up 31-3 in Florida State. I forgot about this game. Florida State scores 28 points in the fourth quarter.
Oh my.
And ties Florida 31-all. So you're playing your biggest rival. You're up again 31-3. And Florida State scores four touchdowns in the final frame, and that results in a tie game, which thankfully, thank the Lord, we don't have ties anymore in college football.
We should not have ties in anything. There should not be ties at all. You know, Nashville SC, all they do is tie. They should be gone.
Yeah.
Like ties,
they don't
should
do
be,
a they don't do like a shootout like hockey.
Just tournament when the tournament starts.
Ah, forget that stuff.
Yeah. I hate ties. Ties should not exist. The fact that ties exist in pro football and not college football is just mind-boggling to me.
It is,
like, absolutely mind-boggling.
And see, I like the 25-yard line for the overtime.
Yeah,
the college does. NFL will never adopt that because NFL doesn't want to adopt anything. At least, you know, say that, you know, we took it from college football. But and then what after two overtimes, you got to go for two or whatever on the 2 yard line. I don't like that.
Well, and like the 10 minute overtime, which is just BS.
Right. No, not a fan of it. Yeah.
I mean, you're basically guaranteeing ties almost because defenses are just too good nowadays.
Choke at the doke. Yeah. And I'm a massive college football fan, and I've never heard that.
I'm ready for college football. I really am. But we didn't talk about this on Friday because we had so much going on. What did you think of Nick Saban? In his debut with Game Day, doing the draft stuff.
Fine. Yeah.
I thought he was really good.
He's great. I mean, he knows these guys. I mean, it's he's a football coach. He knows these guys, ins and outs. He's got a personality. It's a dry humor, which is fantastic because you don't want some bombastic Corso 2.0 up there and let Saban kind of do his thing, and it'll be fine.
I want ESPN to have some sort of show or broadcast of a game, you know, something that has Saban and Belichick on at the same time.
I'm sure they're working. They've got to be working.
Because, I mean, they're good friends. You know, Floyd obviously knew them very well. They're good friends. They think a lot of the same things, you know, kind of the same. They're cut from the same cloth. So I think that'd be fantastic.
What was the 30 for 30, whatever it was, the friendship between Saban and Belichick? What was it? And I'm trying to remember that Belichick said, was it Floyd that brought him to Detroit?
I believe so, yeah. Floyd, I think Floyd's how they met.
Or as a strength coach, or Floyd got Belichick?
Floyd was – so in Detroit, I think Floyd was the special teams – was coaching special teams. Because there's a great story that he tells about the punter that I don't know if I can tell on the air.
Sure you
but
can,
it's a
buddy.
Good one. Yeah, I think it was Detroit. I'll ask Jared. Jared remembers.
I'm looking now. It is where he coached earlier.
Detroit or Minnesota.
And he went to somewhere like that, of course.
Because yeah, Floyd was a strength coach. He was a special teams and then did some other things and then moved into the front office with the Oilers.
Yeah, so he was assistant special teams coordinator for the Detroit Lions in 1976.
That's it.
Then he became wide receivers coach and tight ends coach in 77. So he
Floyd
got,
did.
Floyd did, or that's Belichick.
Oh, that's Belichick.
Belichick
okay.
got there, yeah, as well.
So Belichick was Floyd's assistant
yeah.
to special teams.
Correct.
And then Saban was coaching DBs.
Yep.
Okay.
Or Saban was coaching DBs at Houston, right? Later on down the line, I think it's what it was.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
So the connection there's – but I think there'll be a good TV show between those. If you can get Peyton Manning's ego off ESPN to allow anybody else to do anything, and then – they'll be fine there. But, yeah, I think they did great. I mean, two most iconic coaches ever in the game. So it's fantastic to have those guys on there.
I love our listeners. We get some random texts sometimes
yes.
when people want to ask me wrestling questions or racing questions that we won't talk about. Justin goes, Chase, I know this is not on topic, but did you know that Kevin Nash was the man they had in the super shredder suit in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze? I actually did know that.
Chase did know that.
Yeah. So there you go.
And is where's Kevin Nash now? Who's the mayor of Knoxville? That's Glenn Jacobs.
Yeah, that's Kane.
All right.
And, my God, that's got to be Kane.
And then who is who's this other guy?
Kevin Nash?
Yeah.
He played basketball at UT.
Yeah, but what was he, a wrestler?
Yeah.
What was
Big,
it?
He was Big Daddy Cool Diesel, and okay. then he was Big Sexy Kevin Nash.
Big, okay. I default to you on this stuff.
Yeah, I got you, man.
I know Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage.
He was in the NWO with Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
So that's how you know him.
More randomness. Give it. Throw it out there.
Eric Roach 45 on Twitter says, seriously, we watch sports to escape. This question is ridiculous. Why remind? Yesterday was awful. 2 goals in 2 minutes.
Well, that's the whole thing. We talked through it, Eric.
We talked through it, Eric.
Eric, you ever go to therapy? You talk through it, man. You get your feelings out there. You don't let it bottle up inside of you like some California driver.
I feel like a lot of people on social media, the keyboard warriors, and I'm not saying Eric's one of them, but the keyboard warriors that I like to call out, like, it's because they don't talk this stuff out.
Yeah.
And so they have all this anger that they have to let out through their fingertips because they won't say it to anybody's face.
Just let it out. That's we're here to talk to you. We are therapists for a couple hours to talk to you about this. That's all it is. To get it done there. Yeah. Any more randomness?
10:59. You were there. Hey, fellas, what are your thoughts on the Cats 47-12 win against the Myth?
I tell you, go to these games. It is, if Slapshot was arena ball, it'd be what the Nashville Cats are doing. It's fun. It's not taken too seriously. You have a great time. They're kicking some. They kicked the butt the other night. It was fun to watch that. Being back in Municipal, I mean, it's all these memories are evoked when you grew up going to concerts there. It was fantastic. It was a fantastic night. Great crowd. Loud. Yeah, who cares if the lines are long to get in and the lines are long? Look, man, that's part of it. We want everything comfort and ease these days, and sometimes it doesn't happen. But I'm telling you, go to the next game. It was fun. Everybody had a great time.
So I just looked at this guy's text. They're all about the Cats, so hope Greg Pogue is paying you well. thanks for texting him. Byron, let's see. No, he's laughing at us. Kevin Nash played at UT. Yep, we know that. That's a. Here's some randomness. We threw two massive catfish on the ice yesterday and almost got caught going through security. That's from Bradley in Clarksville. I got to meet Bradley yesterday. Came up and said hello. Says he loves the show. Loves you, so appreciate meeting Bradley from Clarksville. Thanks for listening.
How did he snuggle? How did he smuggle the catfish in?
I mean, I guess you...
He tape it to himself?
Yeah.
I mean, tape it and like the commercial?
So wait, but when I met him before the game, he had to have a catfish taped to him.
Oh, man.
Like, he literally walked up and talked to...
Bradley, let me ask you this if you're listening. Do you spray that catfish down with, like, Axe body spray?
I mean, I think you have to, right?
No.
If you do this correctly,
saran wrap it around your body, that stench will not get out of that saran.
Now, how the hell do you know?
I'm just saying, I've saran wrapped a lot of things.
Have you saran wrapped a catfish?
No.
Have you thrown a catfish on the ice at Bridgestone Arena, Dr. Crane?
I'm not that intelligent.
So how do you get the stench off you?
Well, that
shower.
Yeah, maybe he just dealt with it through the game. I don't know, or maybe he just saran wrapped himself again. I don't know.
Here's my thing though, like. He said, go ahead, and you're going to ask a question. Sorry.
Well, no, I got a story, but go. You go first.
Well, I was just going to say, like, you know, he said we almost got caught by security. Like, is security really going to confiscate the catfish when everybody knows? It's like the commercial, and more people are doing it now because of the commercial. It's like everybody knows that it's a thing at Preds games, especially in the playoffs. So it's like, but I know you're not supposed to throw some on the ice, but then it's like it's encouraged.
So, all right, a lot of questions beyond this. I mean, how do you get it off your – do you have to – your friend takes a pair of scissors and cuts it up, and then it falls out?
I'd assume so. I mean, I know –
or do you go to the bathroom?
Probably. Here's the thing. You probably get through security. You go to the bathroom. You get, like, a fork or a knife from where they give the dispensers. You cut off the saran wrap. Then you probably just sneak it under your shirt. And then when you hear all the crowd roaring, then you run down.
Well, you do it right before the game.
Yeah, and then you just toss it over the glass.
All right, quick story with this, all right? There's a thing. Do you know what retriever dogs are? Of course, Dr. Crane does. There's a thing in Nashville called field trials where you have these three stations out in the middle of a field, and you throw a duck in the air, and your retriever goes and gets these ducks, right? So in high school, we did this to raise money to go on trips. So I had a bottle of Stetson cologne that I would spray on the duck because they smelled so bad because they were all dead. And then I would throw the duck, and so the dog would come up and because the scent is off, and they wouldn't grab the duck. And so these dog owners started losing their minds on the dogs because the scent was gone. It smelled so bad. So they came out and sat with me and was like, hey, we want to see why they're not getting us. Okay, I'm about to throw because they'll shoot a gun off and you throw this duck up in the air. So I'm spraying the ducks down, and the guy's like, whoa, what are you doing? I'm like, do you not smell how bad this is? I have a bottle of Stetson cologne. We call it Stetson duck. This guy goes bananas, wants to call the cops on me because I've ruined the tournament and everything. It's because it smelled so bad. That's why I ask about catfish. How bad does it smell?
Okay,
I want to spray it down.
Bradley is on the line. He will help us with this. Bradley, what's up?
Hey, this is Bradley from Clarksville. Pleasure meeting you yesterday.
Yeah, man.
So, yeah, we double bag it with trash bags, and we wrapped around a hoodie and just walked right in. Friday, we didn't have any issues, but Sunday, the guy looked at us and was like, I know what that is, man. He said, go to the south gate. He said, maybe they'll have better luck. But we already checked in our tickets. So we're like, hey, are we going to be able to get back in? So we checked. And the woman looked at me and smiled and said, just go on in.
Yeah, right. Like, they know. Like, thanks for the call. Appreciate
thanks,
it, Bradley.
Bradley.
Like, because here's my thing. And every building has this. But there's always that one or two security people that are like, I can't do crap, but I'm about to try and do some crap because I'm the security guy. Like, they're just that person. Like, and it's just like, you know this is a thing. You know that you are at Bridgestone Arena where this is a thing. So if you smell it or you see it or you feel it or whatever, it's like the guy in the commercial. It's like you give him the wink. And just like he said, like the lady said, like, just go. Just go. It's like, but don't be that guy. Don't be the one that's like, I know what you got in there. You can't come in here. It's like, you idiot. Like, right. Do you not know where you work?
Again, act like you belong and right. Where you need to go. Then it's fun to do that. But, man,
it's
what
unbelievable.
What a weekend. I mean, Tim McGraw, Preds, Cats, Preds again, all the draft. I mean, all this stuff.
Yeah, we'll get more to your heartbreak and into the draft and all those things. It's a Monday. It's a therapy session. That's what this is. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 1025, 1063, The Game.
As we mentioned, incredibly active for you guys so far in the offseason. Now that the draft process is done, do you expect to still be active in the free agent market? What's kind of the next priority for you as you're running down your checklist here?
Get some rest. get caught up on rest. I thought I was going to be able to do that yesterday morning, and for a brief second, blanked on, you know, my daughter having her flag football tournament yesterday, which I'm glad to announce that the Ravenwood Raptors are three-peat champions this year in girls flag football, so kudos to the girls. But that's where my day was spent yesterday, three games, you know, and so it's been fun. But, you know, get caught up. As soon as we're done here, have meetings with, you know, with Anthony Robinson to kind of talk through some things and how we want to, you know, improve the process and do things moving forward. And, you know, part of that is continuing to look and see who's available on the street, how many roster spots we have, what positions we need to, you know, attack to get up to the numbers that we want to carry in camp. So it's never ending. You know, I was telling my wife that last night that, yeah, even though draft is over, you know, it's still the on season, you know, for us. So we're still working.
That was Rant Carthon earlier this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. Shout out to the Ravenwood Raptors, for sure. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063, The Game. They still got some holes to fill. Now, I know he said, he probably talked about it in the interview and then also talked about it over the weekend, that there's, you know, there are some free agent safeties out there that I believe one of them is going to be a Tennessee Titan because the you know, the money's going to come down, but they're going to have to continue to address that position, and that is one they can do via free agency. So I foresee that happening at some point here in the next.
Have they released the undrafted free agent guys?
They've been coming through that, you know, they've signed a few, but he even said over the weekend that he wanted to keep some roster spots open in case that, you know, they needed to sign somebody. So, like, Justin Simmons is out there. I think they could look at him. Eddie Jackson is out there. I think Quandre Diggs is out there. Did Micah Hyde sign anywhere?
I don't believe so.
So there's a few. I mean, there's actually a lot of safeties on the free agent market right now that don't have homes. So,
can you play that Sarah McLachlan song?
I will. so they could do that.
Of an angel.
Oh yeah, that one.
Well, let me tell you this, and I think the thing is, your first round pick, and this is why the Falcons are so stupid. Your first round pick has to start. It's all you. I think if Floyd would agree with that, I mean, he's got to start. So J.C. Latham's going to start. So they've already put out he's going to start. So immediately that young man's confidence.
Hey, is he going to start?
He's feeling good. Yeah, start at left tackle.
Yeah,
and I think your second rounder needs to start as well. That way you've nailed two top picks. Now 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever. We'll figure that stuff as you go on. But those first two rounds, those guys got to play and play immediately. And I think if Sweat gets in shape, gets motivated, gets fired up, you've got a nice guy next to Jeffrey Simmons, and then we see what J.C. Latham could do. We talked to Coach Wells on Friday about converting a tackle from one side to the other. We heard Rand talk about that with Robbie and Joe this morning. So I think it feels better now knowing how the process and plan is with J.C. Latham and now with the big guy up front, and then you've done really well in free agency. Now you go win games. That's it. You go win football games when the schedule turns around in September.
I think they're going to sign an offensive lineman too.
Well, didn't they sign the guy from Cleveland, Randy Watson's
brother? Well, they traded for him, but Andrews Pete is somebody that I think they've talked to that was out there, and there was another one that. But I have a feeling I think they sign a safety and an offensive line before a veteran, and then obviously the undrafted guys that they'll bring into the camp.
There's an undrafted guy out of Liberty. I can't pronounce his first name. It's like X apostrophe Z, but his last name is Gadlin. He is 6'4", 320. I'm kind of looking at a little tape here on Twitter. This guy can.
Yeah.
He can block.
Yeah.
He can block.
Have they signed him?
Yes.
They have. Okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, again, you have what people consider the best offensive line coach around who's going to have complete autonomy because his son is the head coach to get things done. So, I mean, and you know,
well,
it's funny.
I think he has autonomy. I mean, yes, that is a factor because his son's the head coach. I think he has autonomy because he's one of the best offensive line coaches in the NFL.
Yeah, but also, he's not going to be questioned his son.
I know, but
and,
I mean,
and for those who say it's going to it's not, he ain't going to question his dad. It's not going to happen the way. But also, because Callahan earned that.
Sure.
Daddy Callahan earned all this respect for what he's done with offensive linemen. So, look, man, if I'm a Titans fan, I feel a lot better today than I did Thursday at this time. I just do.
Yeah.
Because you got some big guys up front. They aren't going to sell season tickets. They're not going to score that stupid soundbite that he had about, I'm taking touchdowns over, blah, blah, whatever he had. No, man, you need linemen. You need 11. You need good 11 players. And I think they did that well. Now that we've talked to the people that in the know who know more than we do, that you should feel better about this football team today than you did Thursday.
Okay. So let's do a quick little exercise here.
I don't want to.
I'm not gonna hit every position group, but here's the receivers coming into camp for the Tennessee Titans because they addressed this later in the draft, but they didn't get one early like all of us wanted them to. Treylon Burks, Colton Dowell, Treshawn Harrison. I don't know who that is. DeAndre Hopkins, Jaquan Jackson, who they drafted, Kyrus Jackson out of Georgia from last year, Mason Kinsey, Kyle Phillips, Calvin Ridley, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. How do you feel about that receiver room?
Fine. That's fine. Hopkins can score. If Ridley can do what he did in Jacksonville, they're good. Get a little slot guy to work in there, you're good. Is it the best in the league? No, but I give it a strong B.
I need to see one of these, you know, like a Colton Dowell or Kyrus Jackson or you know, Jaquan Jackson that they just drafted. I need to see one of them kind of show out. Now, Rand did indicate this over the weekend. Because they have three tight ends on the roster. He said there aren't three tight ends on the roster anymore. More announcements to come. So I'm going to assume that's the undrafted guys that they've signed a couple of tight ends. But
okay.
Tight end, they didn't address at all, and that's a concern. And I don't know, free agent-wise, what's left out there. Let's see. You got Logan Thomas, Robert Tonyan, Mercedes Lewis.
Nope.
He's still in the league.
Yeah. He was there. 06 with
Jacksonville. 75. Jeff Swaim. and bring Jeff Swain back.
Yeah. Holy cow. I almost forgot about him.
Jimmy Graham's still out there. I forgot. Tyler Croft. So, I mean, they could sign a veteran tight end.
Jeff Swain. I spelled his name incorrect, too, as well.
I wonder if Tannehill will get a job now that the draft has passed.
I mean, unless his demands.
Or is he just like, I'm good.
Unless somebody reached out and
said. Sit on my boat and drink Celsius.
If New England said, hey, we're thinking about you. He's like, hey, the bidding starts at $12 million.
Yeah.
Unless something like that. Like, I'm not paying you more than $3 million. Too bad.
Okay, so here are the reported undrafted free agent signings for the Titans. Running back Dylan Johnson from Washington, which I like that. I actually think he can make the team as a third running back. A defensive end, got some corners. All right, tight end Steven Stellanos from Iowa. So there's your tight end. Cornerback Gabe Judy-Lally from Tennessee. They reportedly signed him.
Okay.
Offensive lineman Brian Dooley from Eastern Michigan. Running back Jabari Small from Tennessee. Tight end David Martin Robinson from Temple. And then another tight end, Easton Dean from Iowa State, is a mini camp invite. So,
all right, these are all guys. All right, so here's when the draft was 12 rounds or even 8 rounds, I think, especially 12, undrafted free agents kind of like, nah. Now that it's 7, some of these guys by the 7th round, I've been told that they say, I don't want to be drafted.
Yeah, because you have the –
Yeah, if you're going to send me to the Raiders, and they've got 4 tight ends already, but I can sign Buffalo or, say, Jacksonville, and they've got 1 tight end, then I will determine where I can go. So pay attention to these undrafted guys. Look, are all of them going to make the team? Probably not. 90% of them, no. But the ones that do make the team and contribute, they're pretty damn good because the odds of making an NFL team as a free agent are astronomical. So those guys do it,
but look,
they're a special player.
Like I thought that Will Compton had a great post because he was an undrafted guy. And he said, hey, to all the undrafted guys out there, go in there, keep your head down, and do your work. You have to work harder than everybody else.
Yep.
But guess what? You can do it. And he played, 9 years in the league, 10 years in the league? I mean, there are a lot of examples of undrafted guys.
There's one that
– Is Priest Holmes the –
He's one?
Yeah, Priest Holmes is one that comes to mind.
Right.
Another guy.
There's one in this city who does the same job that we do, spent 11 years in the National Football League. National Football League did not get drafted. 11 years because he busted his butt and did more than anybody else did and stayed in the league.
Who's that?
He's down the dial.
Oh. Okay. Oh, yeah.
All right. Gotcha. Got to give him credit. I mean, yeah. Ramon, I mean, he did a
great – Big Ragu?
Yeah. I mean, he earned every second of the National League.
He was undrafted?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Undrafted, came out of Tennessee. And we love him. He's a great guy. He's a competitor.
Yeah.
We're not going to, hide from him. I mean, sure. He's a hell of a player. He spent 11 years in National League as a lineman, undrafted free agent.
Yeah.
You find those guys, and they make your team a lot better. He made the Steelers a lot better.
Who's the greatest undrafted free agent ever, just off the top of your head?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, Priest Holmes stands out to me.
Got to be Kurt Warner. I think Kurt Warner's ever drafted.
That's a good one, yeah.
I think Titans-wise, Drew Bennett.
Drew, yeah.
Drew Bennett was up there. There might be one or two other guys, but Drew Bennett.
Drew was pretty good, though.
Yeah.
Like, Drew's one of those great find stories.
It is. Hey, up next, Dr. Crane reads his Kroger shopping list.
Oh, y'all were serious about this. Great.
Well, okay, we'll tell this story coming up next because it had us laughing this morning. Chasing Big Joe here on this Monday, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I just wanted to listen to Hank for a second. That was good. Dr. Crane, you're an old soul, and I love that.
You're welcome.
You're like me. You're an old soul.
What's on the list? Dr. Crane's doing the Kroger later on.
So let's give a little background on this. So we got here early because we had to, do some stuff, and Dr. Crane just – I forgot what we asked if he was doing tonight. And he goes, no, I got to go get my shopping list done. I'm going to Kroger. And he pulls up his list, and we're like –
Well, we kicked him out of the studio.
Yeah, because we kicked him out of the studio. Yeah. And he was like – then we started guessing what was on Dr. Crane's list. And because we're trying to figure out Dr. Crane – you said green beans, which – Let me tell you, green beans, that is my all-time favorite vegetable. Broccoli is a slight second, though.
What yes. we got, brother?
Okay, I will go down the line here. I was trying to share with you guys.
This is great radio.
I have a Ninja Creami, okay? And so, like, it's an ice cream machine, but also going to do sorbet. So you can make it a healthier vibe type thing. So I've been on this health kick lately, trying to exercise.
Well, you look good.
Thank you. I appreciate it. But on the first part of my list, you know, I've been making these little, I guess, fruit sorbets. Okay. So raspberry, blueberry, blackberry, cranberry juice. And then so I mix all that together, and that gives me a pint's worth of this sorbet.
So you have to buy all that individually. There's not one concoction. They're all together.
No, I'd rather buy it individually because I can map out the calories. Good and so Lord. For a whole pint, it's like 110 calories.
You're going to live to be 140. Keep going.
Okay. So that's one little thing. That's my snack after, you know, after work, basically. Treat of the day.
All right.
The next thing I have on here for like an actual meal, we'll go with just raw spinach in a bag, some frozen chicken. We'll go with corn. I like corn. Corn's good. Okay. Good on the cob, off the cob, either or.
All right.
And then some guilty pleasures, some pop chips, trying to go like the healthier route. It's like a snack. They're pop chips over here in the vending machine. I was like, oh, yeah, I might give me some of those. And
all right.
So the barbecues are very delicious. And then I like to go with rice cakes sometimes. They have like a – sometimes they have a chocolate version, a plain version that are a little salted. And then you have this caramel version of the rice cakes.
You are our version of Dwight Schrute.
Okay.
That's a good thing because you're eating healthy.
Right.
Have you ever had bagel bites?
Oh, yeah. Come on now.
Hot pockets?
Yeah. I'm not crazy, Joe.
Okay. We'll determine that.
Okay. Continue. Right.
Just making sure because bagel bites is a one way to tell everybody that God loves us.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're fantastic.
Yeah.
Nutritional value, zero, but.
Did you ever have those little, like, breakfast, I had them for breakfast as a kid, but they came in a white bag. They were, like, muffin bites. I'm talking about? Like, they're, like, blueberry muffins. They call them, like, little bites.
No.
Oh, they were delicious. Good? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I seen them before of school every
now,
day.
Now, you're a health guy.
I try to.
Would you eat Pop-Tarts?
Oh, yeah. Listen, Joe, I eat everything that's in front of me. Call me the human garbage disposal.
I don't know about this, though.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Pop-Tart?
Either strawberry or cinnamon.
All right. Brown sugar cinnamon should be put in the Smithsonian. How good it is. I'm just checking.
You ready for this, Joe?
Yeah.
How about you toast it, put some vanilla ice cream,
Nope. Cut
it in half, and you got yourself a little Pop-Tart little sandwich.
I just gained a pound of you telling me how to do that right there. So, no, I'm not going to do that.
And I mean, I have some other dishes.
Do you
I
put Pop-Tarts in the toaster?
Yeah.
You just don't grab them, eat them in the car, and get everywhere?
I think I've mentioned this before, but I'm not a fan of the Pop-Tart.
You're not?
No, I.
What are you, communist?
I think they are the most overrated. They might be the most overrated food ever.
What are you? I don't know you anymore. Are you serious?
Corn dogs.
Now you're doing
too.
This to get me.
No.
Corn dogs too.
I hate corn dogs.
Right. Even on 99 cent day.
Somebody's a communist, and I'm pointing at him right now on the live stream.
I had this conversation with. My friends last week in a group chat, and they said the same thing. Because I like hot dogs are fine. Corn dogs, I think, are like terrible. I hate them. I mean, I will eat them if I am forced to, but I can't stand corn dogs.
Something happened to Chase and his.
I got sick. This is what it's Pop-Tarts and corn dogs. The same thing happened when I was a kid. We've talked about this before. I probably ate too many of them. I got sick, and so now I can't. I can't do it anymore.
I'm the same way with brownies. And I've mentioned this before to some of my friends.
I want off this show.
No, I love brownies. Don't get me wrong. But like, if they're too gooey, they make my stomach upset. If they're too hard, then like you can't really like have a good flavor to it. It's got to be in the middle. So like people that put chocolate chips inside of their brownies,
right. That's
the right texture.
Okay,
that's where we go with this direction.
I will tell you, I mean, the Pop-Tart thing has got me upset. The greatest halftime was when they lowered the Pop-Tart in the bowl game. Remember the Pop-Tart bowl game? Yeah. They lowered him into the giant toaster.
And they baked him?
Yeah, that was the greatest thing ever. How are you not a Pop-Tart fan?
I just told you. I got sick when I was a kid. And
but
I
that's a long time ago.
Right, but like now it's like tequila. If I smell it, I get nauseous.
I will say about Pop-Tarts, Joe, when you put them in the toaster and you eat it hot, I will say the flavor, it just spreads. It's like a Flavor Town explosion.
Well, thank you, Guy Fieri.
I'm just saying. I love the taste.
Nobody
of like
I know has ever put a damn Pop-Tart in toasters. Nobody I know I've ever met in my life.
What, do you put it in an oven?
You grab them and go.
I mean, yeah, you can do that. But if you have time to sit down and
nobody
eat
has this time. You just grab it and go in the car and get it all over you. That's so, what we've been done for years.
At 11:30 at night on a weekend, you're like, maybe a Pop-Tart sounds good right now.
Yeah, I'm not putting it in
the toaster. I'm just going to eat it cold. No, let's put it in the toaster.
All the time.
You got time at 11:30 at night.
No, you don't. Just eat it.
All right.
Let me ask you this. You got leftover pizza in the refrigerator. Do you put it in the oven?
No, it's cold pizza.
All right, there we go. See, we're on the same page.
That's the best way to eat it.
Chase, what's next, buddy?
Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is and also celebrity birthdays and what other foods I hate. That is all ahead. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. All right, people are not happy with me and my hatred of Pop-Tarts, but look, I'm not a fan. I'm not. Now,
read a few.
Now, I am willing to maybe reconsider after 25 years and try again.
Okay.
I'll allow it.
I like to hear when you get bashed on the text line.
It's fine. You got to toast it for like 20 seconds to get it warm. Also, Chase is off the show. It's fine. Now, this I totally agree with.
All right.
Toaster strudel over Pop-Tarts.
No.
I am 100% on the toaster strudel.
I remember those.
I love toaster strudels, like the apple toaster strudels, and you put the icing on it and everything. So much
Look,
better
man,
than Pop-Tarts.
When you're digging a hole, you don't need another shovel. Get out of the hole. Stop digging.
I will take my toaster strudels over your Pop-Tarts every day, twice on Sunday.
That is Bell Mead versus Donaldson. All right? You take your crappy Bell Mead toaster strudels.
Well, I'm not from Bell Mead. I'm from Bellevue.
Me and the Frazier kind will stay in Donaldson Hermitage in our damn Pop-Tarts.
Hey, when people call West Nashville and Bell Mead all that Bellevue, it's not. They're two different things. It's like if somebody called Antioch Donaldson. Like, it's two different things.
Now we're fighting. Okay. You're right.
All right. Get it right. Cookies and cream Pop-Tarts in the toaster are the best. Cole from Nashville says a Pop-Tart in the toaster with butter on it will change your life, Joe.
No butter?
I'm not
doing that. No butter. We're getting it out the door. But thank you.
You don't heat it up at all.
A Pop-Tart?
Yeah.
No, who heats them up?
I do.
Apparently half the text line.
Why do you have this time?
You ever had burnt bread, like the end of it, like a loaf of bread burnt, and it's just hard?
No.
It's like a crude. It's delicious. Okay. That's kind of how I feel with the burnt ends on a Pop-Tart. It's an extra little snack at the end.
All right. I'm still mad at Chase about not loving Pop-Tarts.
Map out what you eat, Joe. Just saying.
All right, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays.
All right, gentlemen, today we have Viral Video Day. That's the first one on the list. We also have World Wish Day. A lot of people wish certain foods were certain ways. Let's see here.
I wish a lot of things were certain ways.
We jump the World Day. That's another one. National Peace Rose Day. That's a pretty flower.
That is.
Let's see. International Dance Day.
Yep.
National Shrimp Scampi Day.
Oh.
Shrimp Scampi is where it's at. Put a little Romano cheese on top. Mm-mm-mm.
Oh, it's good.
And then last one we have here is World Zipper Day.
Zipper?
A zipper, yeah.
Zippers are important. They are important.
All right, D-Mace, you're back there. Pop-Tarts, yay or nay? Thank you. See, I knew you'd be on.
Pop-Tarts are awful.
They are awful. Thank
awful.
You.
Awful. Anything that you can open, put on your counter, come back in 2 years and eat is awful.
I'm not taking food advice from a guy from Detroit, and we're not doing that on this show. We're not doing that. Pop-Tarts are the greatest. When the apocalypse comes.
Hey, listen, we got some of the best food in Detroit. Come on up there and see.
Now, listen, when the apocalypse comes.
Joe, a lot of people from down south migrated up north.
That's true.
And that being, my grandparents, too. So,
I'll
you got
eat
some good
food.
Eating up there.
Let me tell you.
You come in my mama's kitchen. She'll get you some good fried chicken, boy. I tell you, back in the day when she was alive, rest her soul. But when she was alive, my mom made the best fried chicken and mac and cheese.
Like the skillet and everything? Cast iron skillet?
I'm writing this down. When the apocalypse happens and I wander over to Derek's house and all we got to eat is Pop-Tarts, and he's like, man, I'm hungry. I'm like, nah, man, you said on the show on April 29th that you didn't like Pop-Tarts. So,
if we all go to Derek's house during the apocalypse, it'll take us 20 minutes to get to his side anyway. So it's fine.
It's fine.
All right, celebrity birthday.
All right, our first birthday today, Jerry Seinfeld. How old is Jerry Seinfeld?
68.
70 today.
What?
Yep, 70. When you're $1 billion,
he's 70?
You can age as much as you want, right?
Good grief.
The great actor Daniel Day-Lewis.
76.
68.
67. Dr. Crane's up 2-0. Well done, Dr. Crane. The great Michelle Pfeiffer.
Ooh, Catwoman. 62.
57.
66 years old. We're getting old, boys. Actress Eve Plum. Was she not on the Brady Bunch? She was. She was Marsha.
Marsha.
Eve Plum. This will make you feel old.
71.
83. 66.
83. You said we were getting old, Joe.
Actress Uma Thurman. Kill Bill.
I know who she is. I'm just trying to...
55. 58. 54. Jeez. Dr. Crane's up 2-0. Hey, man.
I'm off. This Pop-Tart stuff's got me off.
Country singer Dwayne Allen and the Oak Ridge Boys.
Hate Pop-Tarts. 83.
87. 81. 2-1, Dr. Crane. Actress Kate Mulgrew. She was in Orange is the New Black and Star Trek Voyager.
Catherine Janeway.
Yep.
Captain Janeway is 70.
77.
69. We're tied at 2. Singer Carney Wilson of Wilson Phillips.
64.
62.
56. Rapper Master P.
It's been on the show. 58.
56.
54. Dr. Crane's up 3-2. All right, the next one. Chase, you got to get this one or Dr. Crane's going to walk away with a victory on it today. The next one is, let's see here. My goodness. Never any of these people. Oh, come on. All right, singer Tommy James. How old is Tommy James today?
Who the hell is that?
He's old.
81.
91.
77. Before we go, how old would Dale Earnhardt be today?
The late, great Dale Earnhardt would be 73 today.
That, to me, that's mind-boggling.
I know.
That he had been 73.
I hate Pop-Tarts, and that's going
to
do it for us.
All right, as we leave every show, to our guys out there, look, it's a Monday. You made it through the weekend. Congratulations. Look, if you need to talk to somebody, dial 988 on your cell phone. Remember, as we tell you every show, you are tremendously loved. If you're hurting, please talk to somebody. You talk to us, call the number. Let you guys know that we love you and our world is a better place because you are here. Please know that.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock, and roll. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up next. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.